Welcome to the Grace Abounding Broadcast, brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church that meets at 2970 Baird Road in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to bring to you today a message that seeks to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and His glorious person and finished work of salvation accomplished for sinners at the cross. Please stay tuned.
I'm reading today from Job chapter 9 in the Old Testament, and I want to read from verse 25 down to verse 35 and speak with you about God's appointed mediator. Now, most of you have probably heard of Job, how he was one of God's children, perhaps one of the oldest that we find in the Old Testament. And yet the Lord was pleased to bring him through some very deep affliction and trouble. But the purpose was to draw him mercifully to his Redeemer and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we read here in Job chapter 9, in the midst of his affliction, he says, "Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They're passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. If I say it, I will forget my complaint. I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us, that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me." And so we have here Job writing these inspired words. Now, he speaks in verse 33 of a daysman. This is a judge or an arbitrator, and called a daysman because such a person or authority was designated to appoint the actual day in which an arbitration or mediation was to take place. Now, nobody ever talks about arbitration or mediation unless there's a conflict. And here was a conflict. At least Job, in his depravity, crying unto the Lord in his complaint, saw it that way. Now, any kind of strife or controversy is of one of three kinds. Either it's a strife or a controversy that requires mediation that is the result merely of some mistakes. Or two, it could be the result of wrong between two parties on both sides. Or three, it could be such a controversy or strife that comes along when one side wrongs the other. Now, we know for sure that there is no blame that can be brought against God with regard to our sin or with regard to how he is pleased to deal with us in our lives. He is holy and just, he's equitable, and he's right in all he does. Someone said at one point that it's right because God does it, and God does it because he's right. And so even with this conflict that Job had, as to his sufferings and afflictions, and added to it again his so-called friends that caused him to try to find some reason for which he had fallen so far. And after all of this measuring and weighing his thinking, ultimately we find him here taking the blame. And understanding that unless God himself appointed a daysman, now in his sorrow, he had difficulty seeing clearly. In Job 9 verse 33, neither is there any daysman betwixt us. That was his sense. But oh, that was his cry too, that this daysman, this mediator, might lay his hand upon us both. In other words, one that can interpose himself and lay his hand upon God in his justice and holiness, and at the same time lay his hand upon Job, the sinner. Where is such a daysman to be found? And so his cry was for a mediator. Oh, that God would give us such a cry, dear friend. Job here in his deepest moment of affliction. And again, this affliction was at the hand of God. We can see that it was a mercy. God mercifully caused him to see that nothing in this life was of any lasting importance. You hear a lot of preachers talking about health, wealth, or prosperity. But dear friend, all of these things are temporal. In fact, as I began to read in Job chapter 9 and verse 25, Job said, "Now my days are swifter than a post." That's an old English word. To post something means to publish it. And so he was speaking there of the way that news was passed through a runner. Here today we have television, we have billboards, we have internet and other quick means of posting information. Back then, it was to run. And it was the swiftest runners who would carry the messages. And so Job compares his life, even at the height of it, as being as days that go by swifter than a runner, a messenger. He says they flee away and they see no good. They see no lasting good. It doesn't matter how much health you feel you have today. The day's coming when it'll be gone. Doesn't matter how much wealth you feel that you have that gives you a sense of security. The day is coming when that will all go away or be given to someone else. Whatever prosperity, it has an end. And he compares it here to swift ships in verse 26. They are passed away as the swift ships. Back then, you have to realize that ships were made out of reeds of grass, and so on the waters in a quick wind they would quickly be moved, or as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. Oh, the sight of an eagle that fixes its sights on a little mouse or some other moving creature and then suddenly, swiftly takes it away. This is the way that Job considered his life, and certainly that's important for us as well. So what is vital? Well, again, coming back to Job 9 and verse 33, what is vital is this matter of a mediator between the sinner and God. And so those are the two points that I want us to consider in the time that we have. The need for a mediator, and then how the Lord Jesus Christ himself is that mediator. Now you say, well, Jesus Christ had not yet come to this earth when Job lived. That's true. But we know that the same Spirit of God worked in them as works in any of his own today. A few chapters after this one, in Job chapter 19, Job declares in verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." So even there, his eyes were toward the Redeemer. A Redeemer is one who comes and pays a ransom in order that there be that reconciliation, established and approved of God. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He didn't say shall live, but liveth. And so he was looking to the Lord Jesus Christ even here, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He was looking forward to that time, the Spirit of God having revealed in him that the Lord Jesus Christ as God should come and stand on this earth. And so he did when he came the first time and worked out a perfect obedience on behalf of his people and laid down his life to fulfill the Father's law and justice. And so even here, Job, by the Spirit of God, is made sensible of that need for a mediator and how, secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is that mediator. So let's come back to the first point, and that is the need for a mediator. Job was a man whom God had enriched with much substance and influence. When you go back to the first chapter of Job and read in verse 3, it says, his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Such was how the Lord had blessed him. He was also a man that the Lord had taught of himself, and Job therefore lived in the fear of the Lord. In verse 1 of the book of Job, chapter 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So as much as a man could be upright and honest and have integrity and fear God, this was how he was known in his generation. Of course, we know that none of that would even be possible were it not the Lord himself being merciful and gracious to such a one, cause him to be such. And yet, as we read on in this book of Job, we find that the Lord purposed to afflict him, and this for God's own purposes. Many times we might not understand the reason for a trial. We know that we don't deserve any better, and yet going through a trial as one of God's children, it can raise many questions. But one thing we can be sure of, and that is, it is for God's glory. He does it for the honor of his name and for his purpose. But as we read in the book of Job, and especially when you go all the way to the last chapter, when Job is ultimately brought to declare what he has learned through how the Lord taught him through this, we see that it was to strip him of any confidence, either in himself or his wealth. You can read it in Job chapter 42. This is the end of the story. He says in verse 1 of Job 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. That was the whole purpose for which the Lord laid Job low. Some might look at that and think, well, why would God do that to one of his own? It was a mercy that the Lord should so afflict him and bring him low, lest he should in any way confide even in the mercies of God, rather than in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ as his God, his Savior, and his Redeemer. He was made to see just how vain are the temporal enjoyments, even of time. It's interesting that we come, live, and die in this world, and time marches on. But anything that we enjoy in this life by way of creature comforts are temporary at best. Yet time continues on. And so the Lord graciously caused Job to look outside of himself. And not only away from any temporal comforts, but away also from any supposed personal obedience. When I read for you a little while ago how Job is described here as being a man that was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil, even that was temporary in the sense that our faith comes and goes. At one point, if we're the Lord's, He may cause us to have a clear view of God and His glory, and we walk in that, and then the next thing you know, we're fallen. It's because we're fallen creatures. The only way that any of us can be righteous and holy and just before God is through the Lord Jesus Christ and that righteousness that He came and earned and established. And upon completion of His work there at the cross, God the Father declared righteous and just forever, once for all, His people. But it's in, through, and by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And Job is made to see that. That's why in the end he said that he repented. He bowed before the Lord, acknowledging that there wasn't anything in his own personal obedience that could give him that holy standing before God. And the Lord graciously caused him to see that, to look outside himself. In Job 9, he said in verse 30 and 31, "If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me." What is our own personal obedience next to the holiness and justice of God? Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "All of our righteousnesses are but filthy rags before Him." And so, it brings us to the need for a mediator and who that is. And that's the second point of this message that I want us to consider, and that is how the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is that mediator. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6, we read this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Now, every one of these words is vital and important for us to understand how the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator. There is the mediator, as we read there, but there's also the ransom required for all whom God saves. Now again, the language used here by Job is, "Neither is there any daysman betwixt us." What he's talking about there is on earth. If we look to men, if we look to anyone or anything to stand between us and God, it's a false hope. Don't even look to the works of your hands or to any supposed good works to be that mediator as somehow an offering that you can present to God for Him to justify you. No. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one God, it says, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. So the Lord Jesus Christ is that daysman between God and men. He, first of all, is the God-man in the flesh. That's why He became man. He has laid his hand upon God the Father, and that to satisfy his law and justice, to honor the law. He didn't set aside the law. He came to honor it by his perfect obedience. It's not ours, it's his. But also then to lay down his life, and there's the ransom, in order to pay all that God's law and justice required because of the sin debt of that people that he came to save. So he honored the law, and he's made reconciliation for sinful men. That word men is generic for sinners. And made peace for them with the Father. How? By the blood of his cross. It's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon completion of his obedience unto death, that God, therefore, has justified once for all everyone that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save. That would have included Job as well. Job died not having seen the promise of this fulfilled, but he died believing that this Redeemer would stand on the earth in the last day. Scriptures say the last days have been ushered in when Christ came to this earth and laid down his life. And so, not only did Christ pay the sin debt and work out a perfect obedience for such as Job, but for any whom the Father has given to his Son, and that from eternity. So, as the God-man, here is one who has laid his hand upon God. But, you see, his cry in Job 9:33 is for a daysman that might lay his hand upon us both. If Christ had come and simply worked out a perfect obedience to the satisfaction of God the Father, and then ascended up into glory, there would still be no salvation. He had to be the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, and lay down his life for his people. But now, to lay his hand on the sinner, as the God-man, he has put his hand on those sinners whom the Father gave him. And therefore, they are secure forever in his hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10, speaking of himself as the good shepherd. What does the good shepherd do? He says he lays down his life for the sheep. That's in John chapter 10 and verse 11. Not for everybody, but for his sheep. And he says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Now, there were others around our Lord listening to him when he was making this declaration concerning his sheep. And in John 10:26, he said of certain ones, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. He said, my sheep hear my voice. The reason Job was even pondering these things was because God, by his Spirit, had given him a hearing and eyes to look forward to this Redeemer who was to come and pay his sin debt, and therein was all his hope. But ye believe not, Christ said, because ye are not of my sheep. That order is so important. He didn't say, since you don't believe, you're not of my sheep. He said, you don't believe because you're not of my sheep. You say, well, who are the sheep of Christ? Well, verse 27 says they hear his voice. Unless he's caused you to hear his voice, there's no indication to this point that you're one of his sheep. He may cause you to hear later, which would be proof that you are one of those for whom he paid the debt. But also says they follow me. But here's how he lays his hand on these sheep and secures them. He says in John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, the hand of the daysman that reaches down and lays hold of that sinner and those sinners that God the Father has loved from eternity and purposed to save. And Christ says in John 10:29, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." To be in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be in the hand of the Father. You see this beautiful example of how the Lord Jesus Christ then is that mediator between God the Father and sinful men? But don't forget, it says, who gave himself a ransom for all. Now when it says for all, it means all kinds of sinners, all kinds of sinful men, wherever they may be found in the world. The Lord knows them because the Father gave them to him, and he says, of all that the Father has given him, that he should lose nothing. Oh, what a glorious picture this is. And yet we know, and this is the sum of it, and this is the conclusion that the Lord brought Job to understand, is that God is holy. So holy that he cannot look on iniquity. Job dealt with this throughout this book, but in Job chapter 25, even one of his friends acknowledged this in verse 4. How then can man be justified with God? How can God declare sinners just who is holy? And then he says, how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm. People don't like that kind of language today. They like to talk in terms of having made some mistakes, and sure, we're not all perfect, but, dear friends, if the Lord has taught you of himself, you have but one confession, and that is that God is holy and I'm impure. He is just. I'm unjust. And but a worm, worthless as a worm. You think about a worm on the ground that as you walk by, you don't think anything of crushing or moving aside. It's a despicable thing. And that's how we are brought to see ourselves before a holy God. And that was the purpose of Job, being stripped of anything outwardly that gave him even an appearance of any personal righteousness before God. He was brought to abhor himself. And as I read for you in Job 9:31, he said, "Mine own clothes shall abhor me. My own righteousness is nothing." That's how holy God is. But then, in answer to that question, how then can a man be just with God? Dear friend, the Scriptures only give one answer. And that is, it is only in the redeeming and justifying person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Not the righteous, but sinners. Jesus Christ came into this world to save. Have you been made to see yourself as such a sinner? It's for such that the Lord Jesus Christ came and paid the debt. And I'm thankful that the Lord tenderly and mercifully deals in the lives of sinners such as Job to bring them to the end of themselves, that they might cry out for that daysman, that mediator, that one that God himself has appointed, who can lay his hand upon God as God, and yet at the same time lay his hand upon the sinner as a man. And that's what Christ did. Glory be to his name.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. We meet at 2970 Baird Road and invite you to join us each Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org or call 318-687-4943. Please plan to join us again next week.